Galaxy of Film presents.
Let's fucking go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. I have never hosted these before. I am Tyler Jansen. You've seen me before with some of the Galaxy of Film stuff and some of the music, and I'm joined with co-host Brandon right now. What's going on, dude?
What's going on, Tyler? I'm doing pretty good. It's nice to be in the co-host seat this time. Usually I'm hosting these LFGs, but you're right. This is your first time, and I'm going to be right there with you the entire way.
Awesome. I don't know what to expect, but honestly, I'm pretty excited. This is just two dudes talking about what I thought was a pretty cool movie, yeah?
Yeah. We'll talk about it.
What are you drinking right now?
I don't got anything on me right now. I'm drinking knowledge. That's what I'm drinking.
Knowledge. Right on. It's almost 1 p.m. over here, so I'm drinking water because I'm responsible, yeah?
Nice.
Let me tell you, this morning, actually, have you ever heard of mushroom coffee?
No, I have not.
I'm pretty sure it's just marketing, man, but I was at Sprouts, this bougie farmer's market grocery store, and they had this coffee that had supposed mushrooms in it, because that's like a kick. It's supposed to give you, like, health benefits, and I figured it was all marketing, but, man, I've been drinking it, and I do feel a little different. I don't know if this is, like, self-fulfilling whatever, but I feel a difference and I'm feeling pretty good right now, you know?
Is it actual like mushrooms or did they put in the coffee?
Yeah, it's like actual coffee grounds and supposedly it has like some sort of mushrooms in it as an enhancement. Not like the sea stuff mushrooms, but I don't know what that offered. It was literally the only coffee they had, so I got it knowing it's probably nothing. But now I'm like, is there something to it?
Yeah, I wonder if it's just like all Brandon or if they're just like, yeah, let's just put some mushrooms in coffee and we'll see how that goes.
I know, right? They're going to start putting in everything. It's like craze.
I know they put it in chocolate bars now. I know that there's mushrooms and you can put that in chocolate bars, I guess.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. You can buy that right off of the counter, all the stores around here. I never would have thought in my lifetime, dude. And that gives me, I am caffeinated and feeling good enough to talk about this movie. But yeah, Beekeeper. I actually saw this in theaters with my wife some months ago because I heard it was a scammer revenge movie. And I have a thing with scammers because ever since I turned 18 and started getting those calls and whatnot, I found great entertainment in fucking with them and wasting their time. I'd have the Indian call centers call me trying to get credit card info and I would just string them along as long as possible. And then they'd get so pissed off when they realized I was wasting their time. And I actually learned a bit of Hindi swear words from it. It was really interesting. And still to this day, I entertain them and just lead them on and make them think they're about to get like 10 G's off of me. And then I like, haha, you suck.
So you can kind of relate to this movie in a way, Tyler.
Hell yeah, I was excited to see it. And this is probably the first movie I've seen in theaters this year just on that premise.
It's a very outrageous premise, but I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Jason Statham movies, so I didn't know what I was getting myself into in a way this movie.
This was actually my introduction to Statham, and boy, was it one. But I'm about to get into saying what this movie is all about. So I like the really cool intro. It starts with a cool color scaling bee visuals with the hives and stuff and the badass music. But it starts off in this field barn in, I think, Massachusetts, Connecticut, somewhere in New England.
Yeah, somewhere in the New England area.
Yeah, so there's this old lady named Alois, very nice, retired school teacher, just living in this house in the middle of nowhere, and the barn in the backyard, she rents out to the hero character, Jason Statham, or in this case, Adam Clay, and the man is just a beekeeper. Like, that's all it opens it up at first. He's just doing his thing. Eloise makes herself known. They're very nice people. He makes it very clear in the first few minutes of the movie that he adores this woman for taking care of him like no one else has before. Just very sweet people. And then Eloise, when she goes inside and opens her laptop to do her stuffs, she gets one of those pop-up messages saying, your computer's been compromised and you gotta call this number. And I'm very familiar with how those scams work. They basically just social engineer you into giving you their info and getting into their computer, and they wipe out your entire bank account. And in this case, she had multiple bank accounts, a Roth IRA, and what hurt the most, $2 million of a charity that she was running. These scammers stole it all from her, and she could not bear it. So when Adam Clay comes over for dinner, she discovers that she had shot herself. Nobody knows why yet, but her daughter actually comes in the house behind Clay, sees Clay in the house, sees the dead body, and assumes Adam did it. Well, how convenient. She's actually an FBI agent. So she has the dude arrested, pretty sure that he was the one that shot her. But after some further investigation, he never pulled a trigger. It was a suicide, and they discovered she got horribly scammed. After he came out clean, the FBI daughter, whose name is Verona, apologizes and says she really wants to do some things to the people who stole all that money from her, to where Adam Clay's just like, I'm a beekeeper. I have a hive to tend. And then that's where it's and that's where it's revealed that he's actually some super badass clandestine secret agent who has not a single public record. And he makes a phone call to his secret agent buddies to find more info on who scammed her. Well, he gets all that info, and this man sets out. He gets his truck, and he goes to one of the call center buildings with some gas stations. He completely fucks up the guards. He goes inside, and he kicks some ass and burns the place to the down, understandably. Which is pretty funny, because at first you don't think anything's going to happen. He's not poised as a badass yet. He's just like, all right, repeat after me. I will never steal from the weak again. And yeah, and then he turns the place the fuck up and burns it to the ground. And the big boss is not happy. He tells the person running that call center to go get a crew and fuck this dude up. And sure enough, they find where Adam was staying, and they shoot his bees. And they try to ambush him in the barn to fuck him up. But then he just reveals more of his badassery. He kills almost all of them, leaving one with his fingers cut off, and has the barn burnt down. The dude who had his fingers cut off, his name's Mickey Garnett. He was the head of the office that got burnt down. As Mickey is driving away with, like, all of his fingers cut off, he's on the phone with Big Boss like, hey, I know you told us to clap this dude, but he like killed us all and he chopped all my fingers off. And he gets to this drawbridge and he has to wait on the bridge to come back down to go across it. But in that time he's waiting, Adam pulls up behind him, pulls him out of the car, ties him to his truck, and then sends him into the river below, killing him. Adam Clay steals his Range Rover, pretending to be him, and then just keeps on going. Mickey Garnett's boss, who is revealed to be, what's his name, Josh Hutcherson, the Hunger Games dude?
Yeah.
He's poised as this rich asshole who can get away with absolutely anything, extremely overconfident, but he's scared shitless at this now because he knows something's fucked if this dude's on a rampage. So one of the dudes working for him, I don't even remember his name. He was like this British dude, old guy, who seems like another one of those invincible government types. I will do anything to protect you.
Yeah, Jeremy Irons plays him.
Right on. He found out that this dude is a beekeeper. And that's when the lore of the beekeeping stuff opens up. The entire time Adam Clay is on this rampage after fucking up the call center and then the barn, the FBI gets involved, which I guess is really convenient that Verona, the scam victim's daughter, is an FBI agent. So you have this conflict of she's trying to do her job on this case, and it's really, really personal, and she's not happy about it. But after the word gets out to the old dude trying to protect Derek that this dude's a beekeeper, that's when the lore opens up of, oh, you have fucked up more than you could ever fuck up any before. And it's really funny because it's like, beekeeper, what the hell does that mean? And that's when it's revealed it's that organization that is designed to operate outside of the law and basically just kill people to protect the system. But after it gets out that this is a beekeeper, they try to reach out to the organization to have him stand down. Well, shit out of luck. He's a retired beekeeper acting on his own, so he's not going to follow orders from anybody. So he tries to get the current active beekeeper to kill Adam. And sure enough, while Adam Clay is filling up the stolen Land Rover at a gas station, Range Rover, the new beekeeper rolls up. Completely unexpected who this is. It's like this funky dressed woman with hair and a minigun in the back of her truck. And let's just say she's not as badass as Adam Clay. Adam ripped her apart and lit her on fire. And then on discovery of this, the beekeepers decided to remain neutral. So shit out of luck. So for Derek, the big boy scam boss, it's not looking good for him. So Verona is trying to piece together why the hell he's on this rampage and trying to solve this case, you know, with her mom being dead and all and still grieving and drinking a ton of alcohol. But after reading a beekeeping book that she found at the murder scene of the current beekeeper, there's some lore in there that says some bees are queen slayers, which means they will try to kill the queen if she does not produce the right kind of offspring. So they piece together that Adam Clay is on the way to kill his way up the hive. And then it's revealed that Derek, the big boy scam boss, is the son of the president of the United States, who is a woman. While Adam Clay is killing his way up the hive, his next set is believed to be this building called Nine Star United. There's a company operating in there that they believe is more scams and stuff. So guess what? Adam rolls up to this place and they're kind of expecting him there because there's armed guards trying to protect everything. And guess what? Adam Clay tears through fucking all of them, tears up the building, and tortures somebody there trying to get the name of the ringleader, which he does not know yet, with a staple gun. This dude is stapling the scammer's forehead, trying to ask who he answers to, and he gets an answer. So after like killing a bunch of people on the way out, Verona with the FBI is on his tail, still trying to capture him because they still don't know what he's trying to do. Then another bombshell is released. Derek runs a company that is used to data mine people to target for scams. That software is also used by government agencies to catch scammers. And the dude who runs all of that, his mom is the president, who in this movie is named Jessica Danforth. So with the whole beekeeping lore and the queen slayer type thing, Verona thinks that Adam Clay is going to kill the president, which, I mean, that wouldn't be too far-fetched. She produced the wrong type of male offspring if he's stealing millions of dollars. And then come to find out, she self-funded her campaign with that dirty money from the scams, unknowingly. After Adam fucks up everything, Derek decides it's time to go into hiding. So he's going to be around his mom because the Secret Service personnel will never let Adam get close. So they're going to be at the beach house at this party. Derek's got all sorts of armed guards around him, including the annoying South African dude with one leg. And Adam Clay is even a bigger badass than that. He snuck right past all the Secret Service and basically walked right in. And he starts fucking shit up and killing his way up to the room that Derek and his mom are at. The CIA or FBI? An FBI dude was already on their tail about where the scam money came from and was trying to interrogate them there. Derek got spooked at this and ended up shooting and killing the FBI dude while Adam Clay is making his way to kill him. There's a bunch of epic fight scenes and whatnot, but then the epic moment, Adam Clay bursts through the door that the president and her scumbag son is hiding at. Guns are drawn everywhere. FBI enters behind them. Somebody's gonna get shot and killed. Derek tries to shoot his own mom in order to get out of the mess, thinking that all the PR people will cover it up. Before he can do so, Adam Clay shoots Derek, jumps out of a window, and Verona has a choice to shoot him as he's running away, but she chooses not to. They kind of do this head nod, and then he puts on scuba gear and just walks into the ocean, never to be seen again. And that's how the movie ends. So if I were going to summarize it any shorter than that, woman gets scammed, person who cares about her gets revenge, kills his way all the way up to it, and then leaves unscathed. Bad ass. Now, let me tell you, dude, this was my introduction to Jason Statham, and I didn't know what to expect, but I've seen the Taken movies, and Jason makes them look like a pussy. Tell me, dude, there was no struggle with a hero character. It was like satisfying pow-pow all the way up. No struggle. It was almost like no conflict. Propaganda almost, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So when did you watch this?
I just watched it not long before we started recording, so I have a little bit of a fresh take on this. I'm not much of an action kind of guy, so like, this isn't like right in my repertoire, as you say. So like, I haven't seen a bunch of like John Wick movies or like any of those kind of stuff. So like you, this is like one of my first like real impressions of Jason Statham, but I've kind of had like the known like stature of who Jason Statham is pretty much. So going into this with honestly low expectations, because I wasn't really expecting much to come out of this movie, I still had kind of a decent time with this. I actually find myself quite entertained by the action, and some of the characters were kind of entertaining in their own rights as well. I don't know what you think about that.
The characters, what I didn't like, Special Agent Verona Parker, the FBI scam mom's daughter, she was kind of a cringy character. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think her and her like FBI like partner, they had like decent banter with each other, but I just didn't really find much of like interest in what they were kind of doing on the side, because I was more focused on like what Jason's character was doing and what the villains or the antagonists of the movie were doing. So like, they were kind of just like stuck in that limbo of like, yeah, like we kind of have to be in this movie, but like, we're not really doing anything that interesting with it.
Yeah, it's almost like the FBI characters were only in there to feed the lore and add more mystic behind what he was doing. He's a beekeeper. He protects the hive, and his pattern of killing is because bee behavior, stuff like that. But some of the zingy lines she gave, I thought were just kind of, it didn't need that. It was almost trying to be cheesy, like, I lost my virginity in that barn. Like, I thought it was funny at first, but then upon the second watch, I was like, it's almost like you're at a comedy show and you think you drop a good joke and nobody laughs. Like, it kind of falls flat.
Yeah, there's actually a scene where they're like, I think like by like a body of water or something like that. And her and like her partner are like kind of like doing this little banter with each other of like, do you know like this happened? And he keeps saying like, or different variations of like, yes, I do. It was just like that kind of, there was that like that awkward scene of them like, you know this? Yes, I do. Do you know that happened? Yes, I do. It was that part was weird, but I did think they had like a couple jokes where like, okay, that wasn't too bad, I guess.
Yeah, man, that was one thing, but you know what really stood out about the second time was everybody's fashion, the clothes and the hair of the people at the party, and then the woman beekeeper. What the fuck was she wearing, dude?
It's like she came out of some like cyberpunk like 80s movie. It was a very it was out of place for
Yeah,
like
where did
her.
everybody think they were in this movie? Her hair, the purple. She was wearing heels, dude. What? How are you gonna be super badass and kill people with
Well, it was like
heels?
her hair was like kind of like it was kind of like a spiked kind of like faux hawk type of thing. I
Yeah.
can't remember if it was like half shaven or not, but it was like something in that style, and it was just very weird.
Yeah, and one thing I thought was pretty funny that I noticed immediately, you noticed how the old guy protecting Derek, he said, "You want to send another beekeeper to go and kill him? But the current one's a lunatic that shouldn't be there." And then Adam Clay kills her, and then the beekeepers are like, "Yeah, we're not going to do shit about this." You know for a fact that that was on purpose. The beekeepers wanted to get rid of this bitch, and they knew Adam would do it. So it's like, "Yeah, go and kill him." And
Yeah.
it's like, all right, problem taken care of. We're not having anything to do with it anymore. I thought that was funny.
I thought it was quite weird. This goes more to his like what his character was doing throughout the movie, but it just definitely seemed like I think you brought this up earlier in the episode where like he didn't seem to have much of like physical conflict with someone. He was just he kind of just seemed like impenetrable or like OP, I guess I was just thinking throughout the movie, like there was very like minimal parts in the movie where like he didn't seem vulnerable at points.
Where he didn't seem vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dodges so many hails of bullets, not moving much faster than any old man. When do you see this dude in a full sprint at all in the movie?
Right. And then, like this is just me coming from like someone who doesn't watch action that much. So like that just didn't seem and I know like actions aren't supposed to be like super realistic, but like come on, like there were moments where I just didn't believe he could take out that many people.
And there's no way that none of those bullets would have not touched him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like just a graze or something, like just some kind of wound where like see like maybe this could be like the end for him or something like that. I guess it just make me believe more, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and like you, I'm not much of an action movie fan. I just never cared for it. But just from the very few I've seen, I feel like this is a really good shift. And you know how action movies back then, they, especially for me, they got that rep for being really hard to follow, the action scenes and the shortcuts. It's hard to tell what's going on. That actually
Sure.
kind of aggravated me. Like the cuts are too quick. You don't know what's going on. It kind of felt cheap, but this was a little different. They balanced it a little better. What I really liked was the boss fight, the South African guy with one leg. Do you
Yeah.
notice it was quiet? There was no music. It was just these dudes and the struggle, fighting it out, stabbing a bunch of mirrors.
Yeah, that was the time where like where that South African guy really got like an advantage on him, and he did, that was the most vulnerable that Jason Statham's character was in the entire movie. So I
Because he
did
was
like that
drunk
there
on
was no
whiskey.
music, like you said, because it focused more on the action of what was actually happening, which I can say for a lot of the action stuff. I like what you said there because they really wanted to make sure like the action was present throughout the entire movie, and like there was nothing like jump cuts, pretty much like back and forth, like it was back in the day. Yeah, I like this style of action where like you put more attention to like the crazy stuff that occurs in these fights. So the action was definitely a positive for me in that aspect.
Yeah, if they make more movies like that, I would like that in action movies. And this was a pretty good pacing too. Like, notice there was not a lot of slow moments or throwaway moments. It was all either action or stuff that actually mattered for the action to make sense. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Then that South African dude was probably the most interesting character to me, because like the funky style dude, his beard, like, what is that? I want that, but I don't know what it is. And I can't tell if he had his thing shaped a certain way or if that was how his face was shaped. And I love how you could tell they were trying to make him a super annoying, unlikable character, because it was a lot easier to tell in the theaters. But when he speaks while sitting on the couch, you see all the spit coming out of his mouth in the sunlight. And I know that was intentional. They really built him up to get his in the end. But the fact that he killed a beekeeper before kind of killed the lore too, because like, that's not really badass.
I actually liked what they did with the South African guy, because I think he said in the movie that like he barely beat the last beekeeper, and from that fight he lost like part of his leg within that. So it definitely gave him more of like a reason to go after this one. It also gave like this the beekeeper like organization more of like a threat, or more of like a big obstacle to overcome. So
yeah, he had a drive. Like,
he did have a drive, yes.
But I almost thought, I mean, it's good that they had him in there for the good action and the build-up for the boss fight, but I almost thought it would be funny if he was just like everybody else, like, what? A beekeeper is after you? I'm out, bro. And then he just goes home because he knows he'll get killed. I almost thought that would be funnier. That's what I thought about the movie. It was interesting, man. Action all the way through, a good storyline, some scam payback. Just really, this is a feel-good movie, man. It's almost like boner stroking, you know what I mean?
I kind of agree with you on that. I definitely think like the script is like so dumb, but fun and entertaining at the same time. Because like I kind of expected the script to be like that going in, because like, it's a Jason Statham movie, like due to his stature and all that. So like, I wasn't expecting like the most intelligible thing written for this movie, but like, I think they were able to make enough sense where I could piece everything together well. But I mean, they still had like all the dumb moments and all that type of stuff. But I like Josh Hutcherson a lot. I think he played the rich snobby kid pretty good. I think he really like kind of owned up to it a little bit, which was like kind of refreshing, because the most like movies I've seen Josh Hutcherson, and he plays like that like shy like hero or main character, kind of like,
he's not really a villain in most movies, is he?
No, yeah, he doesn't play villains a lot in his movies, so it was a nice refresher for him to be kind of like the side or like main antagonist for this film. I do like Jeremy Irons too in this movie too, but I mean, it's Jeremy Irons, and I feel like he's gonna nail almost every single performance that he's in. I feel like that's probably it. Like I said, the action too was really good.
Yeah, Josh Hutcherson's acting, he really sold it towards the end, where he starts panicking because he knows he's gonna get killed. Yeah. And the cocaine is getting to him, like the way he panicked and started speaking really fast, he really sold me on that. And it's really funny, I blame Joe Rogan for the sole bring forther of DMT culture, and I find it really funny that they snuck that joke about the DMT pen in there with the machine elves. It's like, oh, you know, people who wrote this movie know what they were doing.
They knew what they were talking about.
We those types of bros. I could tell the script was written a long time ago too. Like, hey, you like crypto? NFTs, man? Like, didn't the NFT thing die 3 years ago?
That's what I'm saying. This script was probably like workshopped to like different people based off of like the references that they made, for sure.
Yeah, I dig it, man. But let's get into rating this, man. What do you think?
I'm going to give my review of The Beekeeper a score of Hoth on the way to Naboo. So that's about a 2.5 out of 5 scale on that. Yeah, I think what I just said, it was a dumb but fun movie. Hutcherson is good. Irons is good. Statham. I feel like Statham in this movie was the villain to me in some aspects. Because, like, he was killing a lot of people in very violent and egregious ways. So sometimes I just felt like, is he the bad guy in this situation or not? That, maybe that was just me, but that's just how his character was portrayed to me. Also, the music in this movie went a little too hard for me. It was very epic and grandiose to what this movie really was. So regardless of that, I had a decent time watching this movie.
Yeah, I agree. The music really added to the feel, like it was trying too hard. But I'm going to give this a Naboo on the way to Bespin, because Bespin starts with B, and I like my Scammer Payback boner stroked, but the dialogue is preventing it from going much higher. But yeah, man, that's what I think about the movie. It's a fun watch. I don't know if I would watch it again, but this makes me want to watch other Jason Statham movies.
I say, maybe I should watch more Statham movies just for, like, would you call it, like, meme culture, I guess, at this point? Just based on, like, what his movies represent, I guess. I should do a marathon of his movies.
Let me go watch all of them, and I will get back with you on that.
Yeah, me too, me too.
But, yeah, man, that's going to be it for us today. Brandon, what's the socials? Where can we find you at?
People can find me on Twitter or X or whatever at BrandonM226. And you can also follow me on Instagram at BLion2K24.
So that's a good excuse for me to tell you to go to galaxyoffilm.com to check out what we got and subscribe to our YouTube. We got all sorts of content on there, like live streams, short films done by Brandon and myself and some of the others. The most recent one was released by Will, the artist. Go and check that out and see what we got, man. But I'm about to go probably eat a hamburger and watch some more Jason Statham movies, yeah?
Yeah, that sounds about good. Thank you for having me on this episode, Tyler. I think you did a great job as host. And I look forward to hearing you more as the host on these episodes.
Appreciate it, man. Had a good time. All right, to McDonald's I go.
Have a good one, guys.